Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to the program today, and probably many of you do so every week, and I'm very, very grateful for that. But I have to apologize for the quality of the broadcast today. I had technical problems, some equipment problems, what have you, and I hope to get that resolved pretty quickly. There's a lot of distortion and what have you on parts of the show today, and again, I apologize for that. And again, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to me. I very much appreciate it. And may the Lord bless every one of you. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, reading verse 1 through 5. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Heavenly Father, I need your help today to preach what I believe that you've laid upon my heart. I beg of you a touch from heaven, that the Spirit of God would somehow touch the hearts of those listening, and that they would be convicted of sin, that they would see the righteousness of God, and that the fear of the judgment to come would shake them. And Lord, I give Jesus Christ all the praise, glory, and honor. And in that marvelous name, amen. This sermon today is a little bit different from what I normally give. It's significantly stronger. I'm going to talk about things that you probably wish that I wouldn't mention. But in teaching about holiness, the subject of idolatry must be addressed, must be explored. And as we'll see later, this country, America, we are somewhat of a Christian nation, I suppose, mostly secular, but just about all of it is pagan, which I'll explore later. I want to turn to Exodus chapter 20, read verse 1 through 7, the first three of the Ten Commandments. I want to do something different. I want to read out of the New American Bible. You can find it in the bookstore, I suppose. If you go to the Catholic Church, they probably have a copy. What I have here, which I copied off the internet, is from the Vatican's website. I always read King James. I always preach from King James. I always study from King James. I always reference King James, except when I'm addressing something that concerns the Catholic Church. I want to read out of the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 1 through 7, the first three of the Ten Commandments. And I use this Catholic Bible when I'm addressing some issue in the Catholic Church so that there's no mistake about, well, your Bible says something different. I'm using the Catholic Bible. Again, the New American Bible, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 7, the first three commandments. Then God delivered all these commandments. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery. You shall not have other gods besides me. You shall not carve idols for yourselves in the shape of anything in the sky above, or on the earth below, or in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow down before them or worship them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, inflicting punishment for their father's wickedness on the children of those who hate me, down to the third and fourth generation, but bestowing mercy down to the thousandth generation on the children of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave unpunished him who takes his name in vain. Again, the first three commandments, if you read the King James, says the same thing. But again, I don't want there to be any mistake. We get the part about the first commandments, you shall not have any other gods besides me. But often the second commandment is watered down. It says, you shall not carve idols for yourselves in the shape of anything in the sky above or heaven, anything in the earth below, or in the waters beneath the earth. And you're not supposed to bow down to them or worship them because God's jealous. Many churches you go to, there are pictures of angels. What an angel looks like, nobody on earth knows, unless you've seen one, and none of you have seen an angel. Maybe that's an artist representation, and I know that Michelangelo did great work. I understand. But commandment number 2 says we're not supposed to draw pictures of angels or dead saints, and we're certainly not supposed to worship them or pray to them. It says it's idolatry to pray to someone besides the Father in the name of Jesus. He specifically said, the Lord said in John, I believe it's chapter 15 or 16, I forget exactly, he said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll do it. We're supposed to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Now, it's not a rote prayer. We understand we're praying in his name or through his authority. Based on what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, he died for us. We're sinners, we're guilty. He's innocent, but he died for us. He took our place, and based on that, we can be justified through faith in Jesus Christ. And God will hear our prayer if we pray correctly. If we pray to Saint so-and-so, patron saint of whatever, God doesn't hear those kinds of prayers. And those dead saints can't help you. And furthermore, according to what I just read, commandment number 2, it's idolatry, and it's a sin to pray to saints. Because God is jealous. He says, no other gods before me, and if you go worshiping other gods or praying to dead saints, God is jealous. And it says that he will punish. If someone sins, then he will suffer, his children will suffer, his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren will suffer because of one person's sin. But, and this is a great promise, if you instead of sinning or instead of having a lifestyle of showing hatred for God, that you show love for him, what did Jesus say? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love God, instead of four generations of curse. There's 1,000 generations of blessing. That's a wonderful promise. I know this is a hard sermon. I know you don't want to hear about worshiping dead saints. But there's a great promise in this thou shalt not, this second commandment. There are those who mistakenly teach all kind of nonsense about generational curses, and there is a curse. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge, it says. But when you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you trust that He died for you, and He does the miracle of salvation in your heart, and let me tell you, there's no guesswork about it. If you get born again, you will know you have been born again. You will know. You will know that your sins are forgiven. You will know that God has come to live inside of you by the agent of the Holy Ghost. You will know it. And everybody who sees you and everybody who watches you and everybody who knows you will know that you've been saved because you don't go to the bars no more. Instead, you want to go to church. You want to read your Bible. You want to put the crack pipe down or whatever the case it is. They will know. And you will know. It's not a guesswork. It's not a maybe. You can know that you can have eternal life. St. John the Apostle said. Let me hit closer to home. Well, brother, I don't go to Catholic Church. Well, I don't pray to Mary. I don't pray to St. So-and-so. But I go to Mardi Gras. Or I watch it on TV. Not all crews exist anymore. But through the years, through the decades, what have you, some of the names of these crews or Aphrodite, a false goddess, Apollo, a false god, Zeus, a false god. It's idolatry. It's the worship of other gods. Well, I'm not worshiping. Well, yeah, you sticking your hand up saying, throw me something, mister. You're supposed to lift up holy hands to God. I know you don't want to hear it, but when you participate in Mardi Gras, it's unholy and it's idolatry. And God counts it sin. Then there's the hedonism, the sexuality, the sensuality. We know what goes on Bourbon Street. But brother, I go to Family Gras in Metairie. Well, it's still Mardi Gras. It's still Mardi Gras. But our culture here in America is fraught with idolatry. Okay, you're going to call me crazy, but those Saturday morning cartoons that your kids watch, why don't you watch that? They talk about witchcraft. They talk about satanic things. They talk about demons. They talk about false gods. It's wrong. I used to watch that as a kid. I understand, but it's wrong. A lot of the TV shows talking about hedonism, sensuality, a lot of the TV shows are all about sex, all about who's doing who. The commercials in between the scenes of who's doing who, half-naked women. I'm sorry, but it's wrong, and you know it's wrong. You know that we should live holy and upright lives. It's just wrong. Harry Potter promotes witchcraft. In Leviticus, I think it's chapter 17, but it says, thou shalt not allow a witch to live. God looks at witchcraft and it's wrong. He says it's just wrong. And Harry Potter is wrong. Okay, get mad. I understand. I understand. Easter eggs, chocolate rabbits, fertility gods, fertility sacrifices. Back in the old Roman times, it's wrong. Halloween. Again, Halloween is a Catholic holiday. All Hallows' Eve, the night before All Saints' Day. Halloween is about one thing, and that's evil and the underworld. It specifically says, don't carve any image of anything beneath the earth. Specifically says it, but that's what Halloween is about. But again, I don't want to dwell on that. I'm not here to bash anyone. I'm not here to point fingers at anyone because, again, that's how I lived for a very long time. And I enjoy TV once in a while, so I'm not bashing anyone. But the fact is, God demands that we live holy. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. He says, be ye separate. In matter of fact, the next verse that I want to read, Revelation chapter 18, verse 4, he says, John is speaking, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. The title of my sermon, come out of her, my people. We live in a fallen world. We live in a sometimes terrible place. If you look at the news over the past few decades, the world's gotten worse and worse and worse. It's not going to get any better. But the answer is to forsake the world system and to quit thinking the way the world says to think. Quit living the way the world says to live. And live for Jesus Christ instead. Luke chapter 21, verse 34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and with drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day, when Jesus Christ comes, would come upon you unawares. Luke 21, verse 35, for as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. This thing is serious. It's the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. I've preached it, others have preached it on the same station. He's coming back, and he's looking for a church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. We need to get our minds right, and we need to watch the things that we do and not participate in idolatry and sensuality and what have you. We should live pure lives, have pure hearts before God. And again, I'm not here to bash anyone. Because just like you, I was involved in anything you can name, but I had to change. God demands the same of you. Put that stuff away. Leave that stuff alone. Be holy for God. This last commandment, I'm going to go back to chapter 20 of Exodus, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not leave unpunished him who takes his name in vain. Anytime anything happens, you see something, maybe a car wreck or somebody calls you with news, first thing you say is, oh my God! You're taking God's name in vain. Don't do it. The commandment says, don't take my name in vain, he says. But you throw his name around like it's nothing. Or something happens, somebody says something, you say, Jesus Christ. Again, his name is holy. His name is reverent. We praise his name. We worship him. He says, don't take my name in vain. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Oh, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I pray. I went to Bible study. I gave an offering. In fact, my church, they're going to have a mission trip for the teenagers. Going to go down to Mexico. That's fantastic. That's great.
But you need to watch what you say. You need to watch what you do. You
need to take care of what you're watching on TV. We live in a fallen world, and especially in New Orleans. The Big Easy, I call it the Big Sleazy, I suppose, whatever you want to say, but it's a life in a city of sin. And God will judge this city, if Katrina wasn't enough, for the sins. And again, I'm not the only preacher you've heard say this. But he wants us to live for him. He wants us to change. What does 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 say? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things have become new. He said it this way in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the way you lived, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Again, our minds need to be on the things of God, and we need to be careful about the things that we watch and go do and what have you. We should be holy. We should be separate from the world. Again, holiness, sanctification is the same word. It means to be called out and separated unto God and for His use. Ephesians chapter 5. In my notes, I've got verse 1 through 21. I certainly won't read all of that, but I'll read some of it, I suppose.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, what does fornication mean? It means screwing around. Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, there's a word, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, in verse 4, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks.
For this know, that no whoremonger, or unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Again, you may go to church, you may give in the offering, you may sing in the choir, and I'm very thankful for that. But we live in a sin-sick city, and we need to live a separated life from all of that stuff.
Because we can be dragged down and back into it, and we can miss the trumpet,
the last trump. We can miss it. We can be so distracted by the things of the world. What our favorite television show is, the Survivor or the reality shows. I don't watch them. I can't really name them. We can be so concerned as to what's going to happen next week that we lose sight of the gospel. And our neighbor who,
if he does not hear the gospel, is not going to make it to heaven.
Are we concerned about the things of God?
Let's have holy minds, holy thoughts. Let's get our mind right, the saying says. Again, that we not be distracted from the things of the world, but that we be heavenly minded,
gospel oriented, and to live holy and separated lives. Verse 11, and have no fellowship, no friendship, no hanging around and palling around and being best buds with. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. To say, hey, no, that stuff's wrong. Mardi Gras is wrong. Praying to dead saints is wrong. Here, let me tell you what Jesus can do. You got a problem? You lost this, or somebody's sick, or whatever. I don't know what saints do, what. I don't know that stuff. But say, hey, let's go to God. Let's ask God. Let's pray right now, asking God. God can answer your prayers. Again, that should be our message. Let's go to God instead of praying to some saint for whatever need that somebody has. I know that God answers prayer. I know that God heals. I know that He forgives. I know that He makes things right. I know that He can put a marriage back together. I know that He can do anything. He can deliver from drug addiction. He can set people free. Let's be honest. How many drug addicts has Saint so-and-so set free? Not many.
And one last verse I'll read, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let's look to him. Let's have our conversation about him. And live a holy and separated life, separated from the system of the world.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.